Please take your Bibles with me and turn again to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 40. This morning we began this two-part sermon series on Isaiah 40, verses 28 to 31. And this morning we really laid the foundation and the groundwork for what we are going to do tonight, which is really a lot of application, a lot of examining our own hearts. This morning we looked at the character of God, and we saw that God, as is revealed in this passage, is the eternal, immutable, eternally existing God, the one who created all things, the one who is infinite in power, infinite in wisdom. And we looked at, in light of what we know about God, we looked at ourselves in light of that and saw that creator-creature distinction, a distinction that should humble our hearts and make us see how lowly we really are. A distinction that ought to help us to live our Christian life more faithfully with greater assurance. A distinction that helps us to see how much we don't understand about God. And how much we have to be so careful not to read creatureliness back into the divine being. And we began to unpack the third point, and we'll be doing the rest of that point tonight, the dependency of the creature upon the Creator. And tonight we'll reread the verses in our text, and we'll unpack the dependency of the creature on the Creator, and then we will seek to do a lot of application, because there are a lot of applications we can make from this text. So begin reading in verse 28 of Isaiah 40, Isaiah 40, verse 28. The prophet writes, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." Amen. We as human beings, as I alluded to this morning, tend to make two critical errors in judgment. Two critical errors in judgment. The first is that we wrongly overestimate ourselves. We think ourselves more able, stronger and more powerful than we truly are. We think that we are able to pull ourselves by our own bootstraps, tap into our own strength and power, and there's nothing we cannot do. And yet, verse 30 of our text describes this attitude of heart. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly. Now, young men and youths, we could say that those are the most able among us, right? Those who are young and especially men have greater strength. That's just how God has endowed the sexes. And we would expect that the young man to be really the great example among us of the one who has the most strength, the most ability, the most power. And yet our text tells us that even they, the most able among us, will grow weary and will grow tired. Our text doesn't say if they grow weary and tired. They will. They will. Not only are the very most able among us limited, finite, but they are also here used by the prophet under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to be representative of this spirit of self-dependency, self-sufficiency, which is a spirit of worldliness. I don't need anything. I don't need anyone. I am enough to get through this situation. I am enough to get through this day. I don't need to turn anywhere. I can depend upon myself. And such a person doesn't recognize that what they're actually tapping into is not their own strength. It's the strength that God has endowed them with and given to them. A strength that he has in his sovereignty given a small amount, that in that small amount every single man, woman, boy, and child would recognize their lack and would look to God and depend upon Him. There are many people in the church today, and I'm speaking broadly, not just of this particular church, but broadly, who believe that they are able to do whatever they need to do and never turn to God for help and aid. I talked about the sin of prayerlessness. That is the spirit that I am speaking of here. They don't really need to turn and depend upon God and lay before Him their needs. They don't need to ask Him for strength because I have enough today. I had enough yesterday, and I have enough today, and I can do it. I can get through it. Now, we expect to find that in the world, right? That's how the world operates and lives. They live separate from God. But that is not a thing that should be true of us as God's people. We ought never be self-dependent. We ought never to be a self-made, self-dependent individual. For what is self-dependency? It's pride. It's idolatry. What we are doing is we are depending upon ourselves rather than God. In other words, we have made ourselves to be God in our lives. God has made us to be deficient that we might depend upon God. And when we don't turn to Him, what we are doing is we are saying, no, I can be God to myself. I don't have a need. And Scripture tells us the end of such individuals. The youth grow tired and weary, and vigorous young men stumble badly. That's the end of such individuals. In the Hebrew there, those words stumble badly. In the Hebrew, it's the same word repeated twice. And in Hebrew, that is a tool they use to emphasize something. And so really what the author is saying, they stumbling, heightened emphasis. This is not just a little fall. It's a big one. Now, those of us who have children or who have had children, we know what it is like to have children who are running on and not paying attention to the surroundings. They trip and they fall, and sometimes their falls are painful and may result in bruises and knocks and, at worst, broken bones. And yet, such falls are small in comparison to the fall that Isaiah is speaking of here. This is a disastrous fall. And we have this assurance, if we depend upon ourselves and not upon God, it's not a matter of if we will fall, if we will fail, we will. And I'm not talking about a fall into sin, but you will reach the end of yourself. You will be put in a situation providentially by God where you will be brought to the end of yourself. And in trying to depend upon yourself, you will crash and burn. Because it is God's purpose that none of us are self-reliant and self-dependent. Matthew Henry here writes that those who trust in their own sufficiency and are so confident of it that they neither exert themselves to the utmost nor seek unto God for His grace are the youths and the young men in this text, who are strong but are apt to think themselves stronger than they are. They shall faint and be weary. Yea, they shall utterly fail in their services, in their conflict, and under their burdens. They shall soon be made to see the folly of trusting to themselves. This is why the sin of self-dependence and self-sufficiency expressed in prayerlessness is a dangerous thing for the believer. This must not be true of you. If you, in examining your heart and hearing tonight's message and recognize a spirit of worldliness, a spirit of self-dependency, self-sufficiency, rather than depending upon God, I urge you to confess that sin to the Lord and repent of it. I think all of us can look at our hearts and in some manner or form find ourselves guilty here. Because all of us, every one of us, depends upon the arm of the flesh too much. And the Lord will, because He's promised, will bring into our lives circumstances and situations that will put to death that sin. That's God's kindness, bringing you to the end of yourself that you might collapse and turn to Him. You don't have to walk that pathway. You can choose tonight with the work of the Spirit in your heart to no longer live prayerlessly. No longer depend upon self. And turn to the Lord and begin to focus your heart upon resting in Him, finding your strength, your everything, your all and all in Him. You need to be okay with being weak, being unable. Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9 writes, and he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Is that true of your heart? Are you okay with being weak and deficient yourself, that you might turn to the Lord and find all that you need in Him? We're not responsible for reaching out and grabbing hold of the next breath, are we? We have no ability to control that. We have no ability to reach out and grab the next beat of our heart. We're also not responsible for holding everything that is together, are we? But we know the One who does. We know the One who is holding together every atom, every molecule in this room. It's God. God is holding every bit of us together. Every bit of what we have in our lives. He's made us. He's sustaining us. He's providing for us. We must be a people who live in light of that and depend upon Him and rest in Him and trust in Him. Paul, in his sermon to the men of Athens on Mars Hill, declared that in Him we live and move and exist or have our being. We need to live in light of that. We need to humble our hearts and see, apart from Him, I am not just nothing, I'm less than nothing. Apart from Him, I would dissolve into nothingness. We need to be humble and see that our lives, and every moment of it, everything around us, depends upon the Lord. Verse 31, we're told, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. And we have this comparison side by side. We have the young, vigorous men, the youths who grow weary and tired and stumble badly. And then we have those who wait on the Lord. Those who wait upon Him. That word wait is implying a prayerfulness, a patient, dependent waiting upon God, expecting God to provide and be faithful to His word. And you can only be one person or the other. And it is really kind of like a spectrum in the Christian life. We ought to be growing to be more like this one who truly waits upon God. And so I ask you, in looking at your heart and examining it and being honest with yourself tonight, are you one who waits upon God in prayer? Or are you one who, instead of waiting upon God, tries to advance on your own strength, not waiting upon Him, not praying, not depending upon Him, and seeking to do all that you have in your power to do? We are to be a people who wait upon God. We are to be a people who do not feel the need to have to control every situation, nor to act rapidly and quickly, but to be patient because God is working. God's ways are not our ways. His timing is not our timing. God's people are okay with waiting. Now, waiting has an important caveat. We cannot be a people who just merely let go and let God, because that is an imbalance. We are to be a people who entrust ourselves to God and yet pray for the strength to advance and be faithful in what God has given us. Just as a farmer isn't going to sit back and say, God, I'm trusting you to plow and plant this field. We'd say such a one is foolish, right? He's never going to bring forth a crop. But he is one who is supposed to, in gearing up to do that work, pray that God would bless it and give him the strength and provide everything necessary to bring forth a harvest that will not just pay for the thousands of dollars of investment in planting the field, but will provide for the needs of the farm and the family. The farmer then goes, strengthened by the Lord, to do these things, and then prays and waits upon God for the rain, for the growth, for the fruit of his harvest. That's what is to be true of the Christian. The Christian is to be one who gives all to the Lord, but recognizes what they need to be doing right now to be faithful to God and prays, oh God, give me that strength. Give me the ability, give me faithfulness in what you have given to me. And then as a believer, you advance in his strength, walking according to his will, praying all the time that God would be working and accomplishing his will. But of course, there are situations where you must wait upon God. You must not advance. You must not do anything quickly or rashly because God's will and determining it is what is most important. We must be okay with waiting, depending upon God. The Puritan Matthew Henry here writes, "To those who are sensible of their weakness and ready to acknowledge they have no might, God does in a special manner increase strength. For when we are weak in ourselves, then we are strong in the Lord." What Matthew Henry says here has a conditional reality to it. It is not all who are spiritually renewed in their strength, but it is only those who turn to the Lord, which is why so many people, they rely on themselves until they reach a point of absolute, urgency. They're in a really bad spot, and then they turn to the Lord. Believer, you don't have to get there. You can daily turn to the Lord and rest in him and place upon him the burden and know that you will find the strength to bear up and endure and persevere through that. I fear so often we are a people who are spotty in our dependence upon God. We depend upon him when we've reached the end of our strength, which is good, but we shouldn't always wait until we're at the end of our rope. No, it should be a daily turning to God. Every morning, God, I don't have what I need to do what I need to do today. I need strength. I need wisdom. I need help. I need you to give me all that I need by your grace to help me today. Are you one who regularly storms the throne room of grace, asking the God of grace to give you the grace to be faithful today? Are you a proactive believer, seeking that before you even know that you have reached the end of your strength? Or are you waiting until you need? We are to be a people who go to him in time of need, but we are to be a people who go to him even when we're not in a desperate state. Believer, we need the Lord more than we realize. We need to prayerfully go before him and place our needs and requests, because we are a needy people. Peter in 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7 exhorts us, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." Do you do that? Do you live that way? Every morning, taking off the burden that you wake up with and giving it to the Lord, and then taking upon yourself that light and easy yoke of Christ. We must be regular, consistent, perpetual in our giving over to the Lord, seeking his power and his strength. For what are we? We are those who are utterly dependent upon God for life and breath and everything. We are, as it were, like poor beggars storming the throne room of the King of Kings. If we have not from him, then we're doomed. We plead our case before the King of Kings, saying, "God, I don't have what I need. I have nothing. Please help me. Please give me the strength today to be faithful." Parents, mothers, "God, I don't have the strength to be patient with my children today, to be faithful in all that you have given me to do in raising them and caring for the household. I don't have enough strength. God, help me." Men, "God, I don't have what it takes to be faithful and have a heart that is seeking to worship you through what work you have given me today. I am so easily frustrated and angry and annoyed and prideful and selfish, and or even just secular in what I'm trying to do and not doing all to the glory of God." Before you even walk into the workplace, you must be seeking God. "God, help me to be salt and light today. God, help me to be faithful. to not return evil for evil, but to love and to display Christ. Whether it be in working with children or in a workplace of professional business, we must be a people who are storming the throne room of grace, realizing how much we are beggars before God, having nothing, and if we get not from him, then we are without hope. Albert Barnes writes, "The people of God who trust in him shall become strong in faith. They'll be able to contend with their spiritual foes and gain the victory over their sins and discharge aright their duties and to meet aright the trials of life." Do you want to be more faithful as a Christian? Do you want to walk more obediently? Do you want to walk more, not getting to the point of utter desperation spiritually? It's that daily waiting upon God, depending upon God, resting in him. Resting in him. Do you want to grow spiritually? Pray, 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 pray. Read the word and pray. And pray again. Paul tells us, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And then 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he exhorts his reader and exhorts us, "Pray without ceasing. Wait upon God without ceasing." Don't be a sometimes Christian who's waiting upon God when you desperately need it. Yes, you must be waiting upon God in those times, but you need to be waiting upon God all the time, consistently, regularly. In verse 31, we read of those people who are the opposite of the young men. Those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. And Isaiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, uses this imagery, this metaphor of an eagle, something that appears in other places in Scripture, to describe what is true of one who waits and depends upon God. Now, those who wait upon God don't literally become eagles, don't literally soar, but it's speaking metaphorically and spiritually. In Exodus 19:4, in the context, it's speaking of God's sovereign rescue and deliverance of the Israelite people out of Egypt. We read, and it's God speaking to the people, "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." So we see this swiftness and strength and work of God in rescuing these people and bringing deliverance. That's an important part of what this eagle metaphor is getting at in our text. Consider Deuteronomy 32:11. It's the same event being spoken of, similar metaphor, but a different emphasis. "Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that hovers over its young, he, God, spread his wings and caught them," the Israelites, "and carried them on his pinions." So not just the rescue, but the protectiveness of God. 2 Samuel 1:23, between David and Jonathan, that great friendship, and we see that friendship spoken of in this way. "Saul and Jonathan, beloved and pleasant in their life and in their death, they were not parted. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions." It's describing the nature of their relationship, that strength and closeness and intimacy that they had. This idea is repeated in some other scripture passages. The last one I want to consider is Psalm 103, verses 1 and following. The psalmist writes, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle." This metaphor of the eagle is really getting at those youths and the young men, the power and the vitality that they had, but in self-dependency and self-sufficiency, they crashed and burned. The promise is, no, you will be like them, but in dependence upon God. You will have a strength and a resolve spiritually that is hard to believe would be present in you. The eagle is getting at the idea of incredible strength and perseverance and bearing up under difficulty. You will get through the situation, not crippling along, but with strength. You will be renewed, revived. You will press on. You will not be found on the sidelines trying to catch your breath. No, you will be renewed and strengthened. That is true of the people of God who wait upon the Lord, who are constantly going before the throne of grace. Edward Young writes, "With apparently no effort, the eagle mounts high into the sky, so the people of God will mount up from the depths of their griefs and difficulties. They will not stumble, falling to the earth because they have no strength, but rather with the ease of the eagle, they will soar high." It's the idea of not being freed from the situation, but being freed from the burden, the pressure. See, believer, what God desires for you is that you would not just know his presence and help, but you would be strengthened, not just to be faithful in what you're going through, but that you would be heavenly minded. So that the things of this world would not be burdensome and pressing and harassing you, but you will, as it were, fly above it all. Though the burdens and pressures are there, having given them over to God and waited upon them, you will soar above them because you depend upon him. The things of this world will not afflict you, not afflict you and burden you in the way that they will other people, because you will be renewed by divine power. You will be crowned with loving kindness and compassion. Your need for strength will be satisfied in the Lord. You see, believer, God's purpose in weakness is that we might depend on him in prayer and grow in our recognition of our dependence upon him and grow in our prayerfulness, depending upon the Lord, that in depending upon him, we might be, spiritually speaking, raised to the heavenly places in Christ, that we might know the Father of all comforts, who comforts us through his word by his Spirit, the Comforter, that we might know a divine renewal and reviving and strengthening, which is that same reviving that the psalmist in Psalm 119 has found in waiting upon the Lord, even in the midst of affliction and trial. That renewal will give all that is needed to enable you to persevere, to endure. In the words of the Apostle Paul, to fight the good fight, to run the race set before you, to reach the finish line faithfully. Those who soar above the turmoil, the burdens of this life, will never get tired. They'll run, but not know tiredness. They will walk and not become weary. Where others who are depending upon themselves will get fatigued and sit down on the sidelines, the people of God shall not know that. For they will always be strengthened, they will always be renewed, and they will be advancing. And this is the ideal, right? This is the ideal. We know our hearts. We know how weak we are and how we don't trust in the arm of the Lord. We trust in our own flesh. And so we see this cycle. What we should be desiring is growth to being more like this ideal. Turning to the Lord quickly, first, primarily. It's one of the reasons why God gives us trials and afflictions, that we might flee fast to the Lord. One of the things I'm trying to teach my son is, when I say come here, that means come here fast, right away. Delay is sin. And there is a truth in that. In that the Lord desires us to come to him moment by moment, especially in our time of need, fast, rapidly. We would get so accustomed to fleeing to the Lord that our knee-jerk, involuntary reaction to a difficult circumstance, whether it be small or big, would be immediately turning to the Lord first. I fear that we know our own hearts, that that is not our first knee-jerk reaction. But may what God sends into our lives be a means of tutoring our hearts to be growing and turning first quickly to Him. For what we find in the Lord in our time of need is all that we need. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Beloved, flee to Him. Always flee to Him. Go to Him. Storm the throne room of grace. If we lived in light of these truths and knew who we truly are in light of who God truly is, and see the distinction between Him and ourselves, and see our great need and why God has created us with the small amount of strength that He has, and to realize that that is given to us to tutor us in our weakness so we would turn to Him. If we lived in light of that, we would be a people who truly, consistently waited upon the Lord, depending upon Him, always finding comfort, reviving strength. And so I ask you, how do you live your life? Are you one who is waiting upon God, finding strength that you know not, finding strength that's coming from outside of yourself, bearing up under the difficulties? Or are you depending upon self? Are you a complaining, fault-finding person? Are you a person who's easily anxious and fearful? Do you not pray? All of these things are symptoms of self-dependency, not depending upon God. And all of those things should open our eyes to see the root of the problem, which is pride, which is a matter of sin. And may God help us, that we would no longer be a people who just advance in our own power and strength and try to weather the storm on our own. No, we need God, because only He has what we need. Only He has the care and the comfort that will give us what we need to advance the next hour. Any other place that we look for comfort and care will fail. Tonight I have been speaking primarily to believers, that we are to be a people who are dying to self, recognizing that our life is hid with Christ in the heavenly places, and living in light of the truths that we know and believing them truly and fully. But I know that there are people here tonight who are not believers in Christ, who have been depending upon themselves. You live that way, as I said this morning, you will exhaust yourself. You will stumble badly, because life is hard. And you will face difficulties and trials that for you, because you're not a believer, has no redemptive value. And so many people in this world, because of the trials they face, fall apart. We're in a broken world. Broken people. People who have been hurt. People who have been sinned against. People who have been abused. And yet, spiritually speaking, in our relationship with God, apart from Christ, our lives are broken. We don't have what we need to be right with God. We don't have what we need to make things right with Him, to wave the truce flag, because the situation is we're an enemy. We're not just indifferent to Him, we're enemies, Scripture says. And yet this God is the Creator God who's created you, who sustains you, and has given you many good things, and yes, even difficulties that would bring you to the end of yourself. you might look outside of yourself to God. Tonight, if there are any here who have not turned to Christ and have not believed upon him, I exhort you, do not live a life like you are living any longer. If you depend upon yourself and try to be good enough in your own strength, your own righteousness, you will be like the youth. You will stumble badly. And when Christ returns, you'll have to give an account. And if you don't have a perfect righteousness, then what is for you is just punishment forever, which is just. But you don't have to, because Jesus entered into the world to meet you in your need and to provide for you forgiveness from your sin, because he paid for the penalty due sin. And then if you trust in him, his righteousness, as I said this morning, becomes your very own. And you can be right before God, not in yourself, but in Christ. If you have not believed upon him, believe upon him tonight. Look to him. Anywhere else you look is a wasteland that will disappoint you, and you will regret it. Look to him now, and you will find one whose arms are open wide to receive you and will save you. God is the everlasting God, the unchanging God, the Lord, the one who has always existed. He's the creator of all things, the sustainer of all things, and all things are his and hold together in his hand. He's the self-sufficient one. We have been created to be not self-sufficient, but to find our sufficiency in him. We have not been created to be independent creatures. God is the only truly independent being. We have been created to be dependent upon him. He is omniscient, all-knowing, and we know little. God is incomprehensible. We can't wrap our minds around this one who is immense and infinite and eternal. One who is not governed by the dimensions of time or space. One who has no flesh but his spirit. The one who knows all things. The one who is all-powerful. This is the one whom we must serve. We have been made to need him. And the words of Augustine, our hearts will be restless until we find our rest in him. That's true for the non-believer. And that is also true for the believer who can believe upon Christ and yet depend upon the arm of the flesh as they walk the Christian life. Don't live that way. Depend on him. For what are we? We are weak and frail. We are holding on by a thread, that we serve a God who is infinitely able and powerful. We need him far more than he needs us. May we not allow our pride, our self-seeking, our laziness, our busyness to distract us from what is most important, believer. Depending upon him, waiting upon him in prayer, that we might be a people who are constantly renewed in our strength, revived, persevering, bearing up, not reaching the end of our rope, but finding new strength. And when we've worked our way through that strength, God grants more strength. That we might be a people who soar above the trials of our lives. Though they are difficult, they will not burden us to hopelessness. And as we grow in these things, may we discover more and more the sweetness of God in his trials, in his afflictions, tutoring our hearts and resting and waiting upon him all the more. Never lose sight of what we talked about at the very beginning of this sermon this morning. The character of God. For if we believe those things, not just intellectually know them, but believe them, we will live like the ones who wait upon the Lord. And so do you want to grow in that? Meditate upon the character of God. Think and study and search out the scriptures to know this God. pray that God would increase your faith to believe and not just know. And in doing so, you will be laying the foundation that will prepare you for the difficulties of life. That when push comes to shove and a situation arises, you find yourself in it, you will not just know that God is faithful and kind and compassionate. You will believe it because you have known it in your life. And that firm foundation will cause you to soar above all of those things. They will not be as burdensome. They will not be as afflicting. May we, without ceasing, wait patiently upon God, expecting his faithfulness to meet us in our need, finding help and strength for our good and for his glory. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, open our eyes to see ourselves as you see us. Father, if you were to do that in the fullness, we would be humbled into the dust. For who are we? In the scripture reading this morning, we read that you see the nations of the world as not just nothing, but less than nothing. That's how small and weak we are. Open our eyes to see that we might be humbled and in knowing who we truly are, in light of who you truly are, that we might throw ourselves upon you, begging you, please help me. I am nothing, but if you give me what I need, knowing that you will because you are faithful, we can persevere. Thank you that this life, though difficult, is unto that end of helping us to die to ourselves, that we might find our all in all in you. We pray as we leave this place and go into the week ahead of us that we would not just lose sight of these things so quickly, but they'd continue to come back to our heart and mind, that you would remind us of these things, that we would meditate upon your character, that we would cling to you and regularly wait upon you in prayer. Thank you that you desire us to be dependent upon you, to be a humble people. May you work these things in our hearts. May you grow them in us for our good and for your glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.